Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this edition of Gridiron History Days, we discuss a Giants victory in Canada, the early beginnings of the Green Bay Packers, and the NFL travels to Montreal. And these stories and more are coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome to the Pigpen once again, your portal to positive football history and to the Sports History Network, where we are one of 20-some different podcasts talking about sports history all the time, just trying to preserve that great sports history from around the world. It is the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. And today we are talking about football history for August 11th. And we're going to start all the way back in 1919 on this date. And during what would be the first of two meetings in the editorial rooms of the Green Bay Press Gazette, the preliminary plans to organize a Green Bay professional football team are laid. In essence, the Green Bay Packers were partially founded by Earl Curley Lambeau and George Whitney Calhoun on this day, and along with the next meeting that took place a few days later. Lambeau received $500 from his employer, the Indian Packing Company, on the condition that the team be named after their sponsor. The Packers have played in their original city longer than any other NFL team, and it's the only small market team which is community owned in the United States that still remains from the league's early beginnings. The Packers have won 13 league championships and four Super Bowls, the most titles, 17, in NFL history, per Yahoo.com. And the group planned the second meeting for August 14th, 1919, to finalize the plans. And hint, hint, probably 3 days from now on August 14th football history headlines, we'll be talking just a little bit more about the Packers. August 11th, 1950, in front of a paid attendance of 88,835 at Chicago's Soldier Field, the 17th annual NFL Chicago Charities College All-Star Game is played, and in stunning fashion, the College All-Stars triumphed over the champion Philadelphia Eagles squad 17-7. Collegian Charlie Choo Choo Johnson powered a decisive offense onslaught on the Eagles and ran well and even caught a 35-yard strike from quarterback Eddie LeBaron, who escaped several would-be Philly tacklers in an effort to launch the strike down the field. Running back Steve Van Buren punched the ball over the goal line late for the Eagles' only score, but Johnson was voted as the game's MVP for those college players, and what a thrill that must have been for the college team to upset the world champions of the NFL in 1950. And the college game was a little bit bigger and more popular than the NFL still at that time, but still, to have the professionals fall to the all-star collegians, that was a pretty big deal. August 11, 1951. The north of the border, the National Football League's New York Giants invaded Ottawa, Canada, and overcame the Rough Riders of the CFL 38-6 in an exhibition game. One of those few, I think there were six exhibition games where the NFL and the CFL played, and they were all played in Canada. August 11th, 1954, in more CFL action, the British Columbia Lions, BC Lions, played their first game ever, which resulted in a loss to the Montreal Alouettes 22-0. August 11, 1969, the NFL goes into Canadian territory once again as the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the New York Giants, another NFL team, 17-13 in Montreal in a preseason exhibition game. I don't think the CFL was real happy about that, and neither was the AFL. Remember, you had a lot of different dynamics going on there, but the NFL had the Steelers and the Giants play in Montreal, and I'm sure the Canadian Football League authorities were not too crazy about that. August 11, 1990, football indoors plays a championship as Arena Bowl IV is played at Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan, as the Dallas Texans fall to the home team, the Detroit Drive, 51-27. Art Schleicher, he's the MVP of this contest, and I think we all remember that name from his college football days. Now, it's a good time to take a break to hear some words from our sponsor, Row One Brand, and a great deal that they have. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One shop, check out the thousands more of you unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. Row One Brand, definitely some great artwork. If you have some time today, check out our pigskindispatch.com post for this August 11th and that great portrait that we have there from Row One Brand, the Texas Tech Loyola photograph they have. I think it was their cover of their program for that game from October 25th, 1935. Very colorful artwork of that retro style of two football players going at it. Really a work of art, would look great on anybody's wall in their den or man cave or she said. So let's go to our birthdays of Hall of Famers. Well, there is no Hall of Famers that celebrate birthdays that we could find, but we do have three that are not yet in the Hall of Fame, some very significant players. We'll go through them fairly briefly. August 11th, 1942, Otis Taylor, a wide receiver and flanker back that played college ball at Prairie View College, a very significant player in college. August 11th, 1977, Cooper Carlisle, an offensive lineman from Florida who played for the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders in the NFL for a total of 13 seasons. Take that back, maybe it wasn't the Oakland Raiders, it might have been the LA Raiders at that time, but the Raiders franchise anyway. And August 11th, 1967, in Detroit, Michigan, the defensive tackle Mike Lodish, formerly of the UCLA Bruins, played from 1986 to 89 with that college, but he was born in that day. And Mike was drafted the 265th overall pick by the Buffalo Bills in the 1990 NFL draft and later played with the Denver Broncos. So a little bit of Denver Bronco theme here with our birthday boys. A couple of them, two of the three, played with them. So, you know, just some tremendous football that we covered today. A lot of it happening in Canada with our NFL teams traveling up there and also with the BC Lions having their birth, the initial meeting of creating the Green Bay Packers from the Indian Packing Company. Very interesting there indeed. So a very important date in football history, and we're not even in the season. We're in the exhibition preseason era, middle of the normal CFL season this year. We're in going into week two, but August 11th, very important indeed, and we appreciate you joining us here, and we can't do this without you folks, and you listening and participating, emailing us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com and giving us your feedback. It is also important for us to try to improve the show and just make a better quality product each and every day, so we appreciate your feedback. You can also find us on Twitter at pigskindispatch. Facebook, we have the Pigskin Dispatch page. The subreddit of sports history, we post there a lot. On LinkedIn, I post as Darren Hayes, and I also post on Facebook as Darren Hayes, so many ways to get a hold of us. And of course, you know, that email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And, you know, our phone number is even on the website if you want to give a call and talk. But each of the emails I will answer personally, as well as the phone calls, I will get back to you. So, we want our listenership to communicate with us. And it's a two-way street. And we enjoy those of you that have and reached out. You know, we have our football by number series is going strong. We're going to have a few more of those each week here going into the season. We're up in the mid-70s now, getting in some really exciting players. Some of the big boys are coming through, and you have some great guests on there, you know, like Warren Rogan, Joe Ziemba, George Bozica. They're all coming up here in the next week or so, Football by Numbers. And don't forget about our series on the pre-World War II pro football teams. You know, just a few days ago, we had the Minneapolis Marines with Ross Bliley of the Pigskin Tales podcast on, talking about his hometown team, the Minneapolis Marines. Well, next week we have another gentleman that's going to talk about his hometown team. Scott Ferguson Green, a great football historian, is going to talk about his Union Club of Phoenixville Big Reds team. And I think you will be very pleasantly surprised at the history of this club that many have never heard of before, of Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. And I think you'll really enjoy that program as well. That'll be next Monday. Mondays are our pre-World War II professional football teams. We have a lot of great ones lined up here for you, coming up with some great authors and historians to talk about them. So very excited about that. And again, of course, the Football by Numbers is going strong each and every day. And don't forget about the football history headlines. Also, sportshistorynetwork.com. Make sure you check out all those great podcasters. There's some very talented men that Arnie Chapman has assembled there. And we'd like to get some more folks to do it, including the ladies. You know, want to talk about sports history? You got an interest in it? Well, go to sportshistorynetwork.com. There is a spot there where you can see and communicate with Arnie Chapman, the founder of Sports History Network, and we'll get you on there, get you podcasting and talking about sports history to share it with the world and preserve sports history. That's what we're here to do. That's what it's all about. So make sure you check out all those things we just talked about. Support Row One Brand. They're doing some great things there, and I think you'll get some great artwork and goodies there to do. You know, drink your coffee out of something that you can remember football every day or any sport. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.